Let's take a walk this morning with Enoch. How do you make God happy? What's pleasing to God? What does God want? How are you trying to please God? How many ways are there to please God? There are not any ways but one way: faith. You say, well, I'm going to please God with my obedience. I'm going to please God with all my good works, and God will be pleased. No, God has always said since the beginning, there's only one way to please Him. Trust me. Put your faith in me, which does result in obedience, which does result in good works. But if you're using those to please God, look, God, I've been more faithful than so-and-so. I've been more obedient than so-and-so. Only one way to please God. And what is it? Faith. How do you get to God? How do you receive God's rewards? Well, Enoch walked with God. By faith, verse 5, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. That just blows my mind. It's just so casual as it mentions that Enoch couldn't be found. Where's Waldo? Where's Enoch? He's gone. I wonder if his wife filed a missing report. You know, he was just here and all of a sudden he's gone. God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. I don't care what you do. Without trusting God, you cannot please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, that He is, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Everything you have in Christ, your forgiveness, your eternal life, on and on and on and on, is a reward that you trust God. That He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Now, Enoch walked with God. Abel, earlier, worshipped in faith. He knew what God wanted. He did what God wanted. Enoch walked in faith. He lived in faith. For 300 years. How long have you walked with God? How often are you tempted to just chuck it all? I'm tired of this. How many of you have walked 3 years with God, much less 300 years with God? Wow. Go back to Genesis to catch up on the story of Enoch. We read it last week, but Enoch walked with God, and we are told that in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Now, we read this last week. How long did Methuselah live? You have to go on down, 969 years. We think 69 years is a long time. And after he became the father of Methuselah at age 65, Enoch walked with God 300 years. And had other sons and daughters, and altogether Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. You notice, two times in those verses, he walked with God. Now, we began looking at verse 5 and 6 last week, some features that make up a life that pleases God. Is anybody with me? We want to please God. Yes. So we looked at a couple of last week. First of all, from verse 6, he believed God is. God exists. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because someone must, to please God, you must believe, first of all, that God is. Nothing can please God apart from faith. Nothing. Nothing. Not your religion, not your good works, not your ancestors, not your family, none of them can please God unless you first of all believe God is. That's the beginning step in our walk. God is. Look at the evidence. Is there enough evidence to prove God? No! Let me ask you again. Is there enough evidence to prove God? No! There's plenty of evidence that God exists, but I can't bring a test tube in here and show you, look, I have now proved God exists. It always requires faith. Now, it's not a stupid faith. It's not just, I'm going to jump off and try to find God. But you look at the evidence. There's enough evidence. I'm going to put my faith in trusting God. There's plenty of evidence to believe that God is. But it's the beginning of faith. Second, he sought God's reward. Believes that God rewards those who diligently seek Him. You believe that a God exists. Whoopee. That's great. James says even the demons believe that. Oh. You mean it's not just to say there's some cosmic force, some architect in the sky of the universe? No. Not just believing God is, period, but what kind of God is He? He is a God who is the true God of Scripture. He is the God who is moral and loving and gracious, a personal, knowable God. Not just some cosmic force in the universe, but the true God who rewards those who put their faith in Him, who trust Him. Is God knowable? Yes. God is knowable. We can know Him. And everything you have in God, just think of all the stuff you got because you're a believer, because your faith is in God. Have you stopped counting yet? Because there's tons of stuff. Think of all the stuff you have in Christ, in God, as a believer. All of that is a reward from God because you trust Him. So Enoch walked with God. God is. He rewards those who really seek Him with all their heart. And then the third characteristic of a life that is pleasing to God, he walked with God. Now, the first two are the first two steps toward real faith. A lot of people believe there is a God. A lot of people believe, yeah, God rewards those who diligently seek Him, but that's the end. But Enoch walked with God. Real faith. You say, well, I trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Great. That's the beginning. How about your daily life? Your thoughts, your activities, your dreams, your wishes. To continue to please God, you must have fellowship with God. Communion with God. We'll call it take a walk with God. Notice two times back there in Genesis, you don't have to turn back, but it said that he walked with God. How many of you have ever walked with God? Enoch walked with God. I walk with God. Don't you walk with God? Does he come and knock on your door and say, it's time to take a walk? It's how you live. You walk this world with God. But two times there in Genesis chapter 5, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it is translated, he pleased God. And you notice, look again at Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, you'll find two times in those verses, it says, he pleased God. That's why we need to always ask ourselves, is what I'm doing pleasing to God? Is God happy with this? Am I really pleasing God as I walk through life? In the New Testament, we're told many times to walk. It represents a lot of things. But you could sum it this way, faithful living. How faithful would you consider yourself? I'm real faithful. I show up to church. Is that it? I'm real faithful. I have people tell me all the time, you know, I go to Valley Christian Church. I'm real faithful. You get down to it, they come twice a year, Christmas and Easter. I'm real faithful in that. I'm a faithful giver. I'm a faithful Bible reader. I read my Bible once a year. That's faithful. Faithful living. We are told in the New Testament to walk in the newness of life. We are told to walk by the Spirit. We are told to walk in love. We are told to walk in the light, into purity, walking. Like Enoch, a true believer walks with God every moment of your life. A walk. Now, what does that imply, to walk with God? If I were to ask you, how many of us walk with God? How many of us, I'm not going to ask you, but if I were to ask you, how many of us walk with God, how many of us would raise our hands? I'm not going to ask you, but only one person raised their hand. What does that mean? Walk with God. It sounds so spiritual, so churchy, walking with God. Let me tell you some things it implies. First of all, it implies agreement with God. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, Amos says, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so?" Who do you walk with? People you're in agreement with. The point is obvious. You can't walk in fellowship unless you are agreed. If a stranger knocked on your door this afternoon and you answered your door and they said, you said, "Hello, how can I help you?" And they said, "I just was walking by and I thought you would like to take a walk with me." "Well, I don't know who you are." "What do you mean? I'm a little nervous about this." It implies agreement, harmony. And the problem is, and we have a problem walking with God because the relationship, the agreement is broken because our sin. You don't want to take a walk with your wife or your husband or your parents if you know you violated their trust, do you? Hey, let's take a walk. When your spouse says to you, "Honey, we need to talk." What do most men react with? "Uh-oh, what'd I do?" You want to talk with God? You want to walk with God when you have this big sin in our lives? Of course not. And if the agreement is ruined because of our sin. But Enoch agreed with God. "I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness, God. Please accept my forgiveness. Please accept your gift of atonement for me." You see, if you're going to walk with God, the rebellion is over. I surrender how much? Most. Rebellion is over. That's the idea in the New Testament of being reconciled to God. How can I have an agreement with God? How can I be reconciled to God? I'm a sinner because I put my trust in Christ and what Christ did to take away my sin, and I'm in Christ. You cannot walk with God unless you've been reconciled to God. There's agreement. And how can I be reconciled? Only that I agree with what God says about my sin, and what God says is the only way to take away my sin, in Christ. God is not into, mark this down, if you're about to fall asleep, please wake up for this. God is not into walking with people who want to just agree to disagree. God only walks with those who are reconciled to Him in Christ. It also implies, besides agreement, the same nature. I know I'm going to get in trouble for this one. Just go ahead and throw a tomato. Go ahead and spit. I bet you can't spit this far. I know I live in the South Valley and I've lived here for a long time. And I know people in the South Valley love their animals. And that's fine. Animals make great companions. You can have close relationship with that little dog. I said before, you know, if I ever believed in reincarnation, which I don't, but if I did, I'd want to come back as Rosie's dog. Those things are spoiled. I'm treading on thin ice here. And I said it last week, and boy, the looks I got. You can't walk with your dog. Go ahead. Boo and hiss. You know why? Is because you have a different nature. You know, you can walk a horse, but you can't walk with a horse. You can't have fellowship. You can't have communion with a horse. And if you tell me my dog is the only friend I've got, I feel sorry for you. If you say, well, you're wrong, preacher. I walk with my dog all the time. You will take your dog on a walk. You don't walk your dog with your dog. You get the difference? In the same way, an unbeliever can't walk with God. If an unbeliever tells you, well, I walk with God, they don't know what they're talking about. An unbeliever can't walk with God because they have a different nature. But when you come to Christ and are in Christ, when you are saved, when you trust what Christ did in taking away your sins, what does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You now have a different nature, so you can walk with God in Christ. Our citizenship is where? In heaven. We have the Holy Spirit of God in us, so we can walk with God because we have fellowship with God. We have the nature of God. So it implies agreement. It implies the same nature. It also implies cleansing from sin. In Christ, your sin is taken away. That is good news. Your sin has been dealt with if you trust Christ. Isn't that good news? You are counted in God's eyes because of Christ and you trust in Christ. You are counted as righteous in Christ. Go back to that passage I just mentioned, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 does say, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I was right on that, but also notice verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Who's that? Christ. He took your sin so that the punishment for your sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Doesn't that excite you? Sin has been dealt with if you are in Christ. God will not walk with anyone who's not in agreement with him. And God will not take a walk with anyone but holiness. God, let me say that again. God will not walk with anyone but holy people. If you turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Listen to this. If we claim to have fellowship with him, that's another way of saying if we claim to be walking with God, yet walk in the darkness, that's a symbol for sin, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. The only person that God walks with are those that are holy. And how do you get to be holy? The only person God takes a walk with are those who have been cleansed by sin. And how can you have your sins cleansed? Only by faith in Christ. This is when you say, hallelujah, amen. Only those that are declared righteous by God. It also implies a surrendered will. God will not force His company on anyone, will He? God could just come and knock on your door and you answer the door and says, "Get, come on, we're going to take a walk." He doesn't do that. He's a gentleman. We know it is His will that we have fellowship with Him. He wants us to come to Him, but He will not force you. That's your decision. You must decide. Walking with God is your choice. It's a walk in love, because I love God. I choose because I love God so much that I walk with God. If you're into walking physically, who do you walk with? Strangers? You saw someone walking down the road on Rio Bravo, so you thought, I'll join them. It's a dangerous thing. Why do you walk with your spouse? Because you love them. You walk with them. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Just say that out loud. 300 years. So one day, he was walking with God, and God just took him up to heaven. The New Testament calls walking with God, walking in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Oh, I'm walking in the Spirit. Like it's some kind of mystical, feel-good thing. It means this, that the Holy Spirit directs you. The Holy Spirit teaches you. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to live the Christian life. You rely upon what the Holy Spirit wrote, the Word of God. And what's the fruit of walking in the Spirit? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Here's how you can know if you're walking with God in the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of walking with God. It's walking with God and in the Holy Spirit. It is to allow God and His Holy Spirit to pervade all of your thoughts. What do you think about? Who's directing those thoughts? It's saying in the morning when you get up, Holy Spirit, good morning. It's your day, not mine. Use this day as you see fit, God, as we walk together. It's saying throughout the day, Holy Spirit, keep me from sin. Direct my choices, my decisions. Use me today to glorify Christ. That's walking in the Spirit, walking with God. It's putting each decision, each temptation, each desire before God, asking Him for His direction and His power. How am I going to live this day? See, walking in the Spirit is not some feeling. It is practical. It is dynamic. It's not passive resignation. Okay, God, I'll do what you want. Just take over. It is active obedience to how God directs you. If you were to look at the New Testament, do a study on walking, you would find that we walk as a truth walk, as a spiritual walk, as a love walk, as a light walk, as a wise walk. If you want to look how to walk, it's like when you go to the restaurant and the lady says, walk this way. And you watch her walk and you say, I can't walk like that. If you want to learn how to really walk with God,
You could look at Enoch. You could look at Abraham. You could look at Noah in the next verses. But really, look at Christ. Everything he did, everything he said, everything he wanted, all of his will was to honor God, the Father. That's walking with God. And it also implies a continuing faith. First, you come to God. But you can't continue to walk with God unless you continue to have faith, to trust Him on a daily basis. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue. Say that word out loud. Continue to live in Him. You know, people tell me all the time, I'm a Christian. Really? What makes you think you're a Christian? Well, way back when I was 12, I accepted the Lord. Really? What's happened since then? Well, I accepted Him then. I'm safe. I'm done. Listen to this. As you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue. What was that word I asked you to say out loud? Continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Agreement with God, cleansed from sin, same nature, surrendered will, and continuing. Enoch believed God. Isn't he a great example? And Enoch kept it up. He said, oh, I'm having a bad day, forget this. He kept it up day after day after day after day after day after day, year after year after year for 300 years. And I want to give up in a week. 300 years he trusted God. And Enoch had never seen God. But he walked with Him. Even though he didn't see Him. And this is how Enoch pleased God. Enoch walked with God. He believed God is, which led to believing that real God rewards those who diligently seek Him. Enoch walked with God. And something else I want you to notice about Enoch, he preached God. Say, how do you know that? I haven't read anything about that. The only way we know it, if you look at the book of Jude. Jude, right before Revelation. Verse 14. Enoch, the seventh from Adam. What does that mean? The seventh generation from Adam. Prophesied. What is prophesied? What does it tell in the future? He was preaching what God said about these men who are false teachers. You read earlier. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of His holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way. That's a lot of ungodlies, isn't it? And of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. Here's the bottom line. Enoch preached. He told other people what God had to say. He didn't have a pulpit. He didn't preach in a church. But he proclaimed what God says. And we only know that from the book of Jude. We have no idea how successful Enoch was. Hey, what was your attendance last week, Enoch? We don't know who listened to him. Well, how big was your church, Enoch? Nobody showed up. We have no idea how successful Enoch was, but I can tell you this, he was faithful. He was faithful. He did what God wanted, and he left the results to God. No one around Enoch in that day had any excuse for wonder what God wants, because Enoch spoke up for God.
And don't think, well, Enoch walked with God for 300 years because he lived in an easy time. No. Ungodly, 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 ungodly. He preached God. And the last thing I want you to see is go back to Hebrews, verse 5. Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. He believed God is. He believed God rewards those who diligently, earnestly seek him. He walked with God, continued for 300 years. He preached God. And so Enoch entered God's presence. At last, after 300 years, just say that out loud, 300 years of believing, of walking, preaching, 300 years of that, he went to be with the Lord in a unique way. Wouldn't you like to go that way? You're just standing there in line at Walmart and poof, you're gone. God just took him up. He didn't experience death. That's a way to go. One moment he was there and the next, he's not there. Mrs. Enoch probably called her friends, "Have you seen my husband?" He walked so close with God that as he was walking with God, he just walks right into heaven. God was so pleased with Enoch. He just said, "Enoch, come on up here." I wonder why he had to do it for 300 years, though. Maybe God wanted him to be here to preach and tell others. I don't know. Why did God take Enoch this way? I don't know. Maybe to spare him the ridicule of preaching anymore to this ungodly generation. Maybe. I don't have a clue. But God just said to Enoch, "Enoch, I am so pleased with you that I want you up here with me." Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones." You probably, I probably either, will not be taken this way. You're probably going to get older. Well, you will get older. You are old. And you will probably get sick and then die. Will you be faithful through all of that? Will you walk with God through that? God loves his saints. God loves the fellowship of his saints. That's why it says precious in the sight of the Lord are those, the death of his saints, his holy ones. God wants you up there with him. That's your choice. I have no clue when God's going to call me up. Are you? But Enoch is a beautiful picture for us. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4:17. "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." You walk through this life. Where are you going? Think about it. Don't give me a quick answer. Where are you really going? And doesn't that really depend who you're walking with? Which direction? Walk with God. The world, so evil. It's mean and ugly out there, and the world is going to get us, and the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Do you know how bad it is? Did you watch the news last night? Did you see what happened? The world is terrible. That's not the question. The world. The question is, those who claim to be God's people. You. Me. People who say they're God's people. That's the question. Will we turn from our evil? Now, we know what happened to Israel. After Solomon dies, what happens to the kingdom? Divided, split, north and south, evil, idolatry. God warns them, prophet after prophet. Other nations destroy them. They're taken into captivity, into exile. Finally, in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, some of them come home. They rebuild the temple. But let me ask you, where's the temple today? There's a mosque on the site. The temple's not there. It's a joke. All those people who said, we serve God, what happened? God doesn't live in a building. Aren't you glad? God doesn't need a building. But you know what God wants? He wants His people to be His people. James, the half-brother of Jesus, near the end of the New Testament, writes these words. James chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Those aren't very comforting words. You sinners! He's writing to Christians. He's saying, knock off your sin, turn from your wicked ways. Grieve, mourn, and wail. I thought we were supposed to be happy. And He's telling us here to grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Well, I don't want to go to that kind of church. Why should we mourn and wail over our sin? Come, you sinners, poor and needy. Humble yourself before the Lord. And then comes the good stuff, and He will lift you up. The dedication of the temple really is the dedication of the people. If you are God's people, would you stand? And let's take a second to do what God asked us to do, as He asked the Israelites to do on that day. And you can bow your head, you can raise your head to heaven, look to God, but would you take a second and tell God you want to humble yourself? That is a dangerous prayer to pray. But God, do anything you need to do to humble me. Will you pray? Tell God you will rely upon Him. You will spend time in conversation with Him. Tell God you will seek His face, His will, His glory above everything else. And then will we make a commitment to God that we will turn from our wicked ways and ask God what those are in your life. Father, we humble ourselves before You, seeking Your face, talking to You, knowing how You feel about evil in our lives, and we have plenty. May it be obvious to us. May we not disguise it, excuse it. As we've celebrated independence for our country, we celebrate our dependence on You. my people, your people, God. Isn't God faithful? Are His people? Will you surrender all to God?